I greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here, and I enjoyed the service so far, and devotional, and also what we studied there in Sunday school. Recently, I was reading through Genesis, and one of the stories in Genesis that has always captured my attention, and it probably does you too, is the story of Joseph. And as I was reading that story, I was once again amazed at how Joseph extended forgiveness to his brothers, and how that theme of forgiveness runs through that whole story. You know, it's such a beautiful picture of God taking the evil intentions and actions of people and turning them into something that they could never have imagined. And Joseph saw that. He saw God providing for his family and for a lot of other people through the actions of his brothers that were intending harm to him. And you know, if Joseph had lived in bitterness and unforgiveness, do you suppose that God could have used him in that way? I don't think his life would have been the life that we see, the story that we see today, if he had decided to just hold that all in his heart and not forgive his brothers for what they did. And you know, forgiveness, I think, is really a central theme in the Bible, and it goes from one end to the other. So I'd like to talk about forgiveness this morning, and talk about, first off, the God to us forgiveness, the forgiveness between us and God, and then also the forgiveness from between each of us, man to man, in your relationship with each other. Maybe because I like dictionaries, I looked up the definition of forgiveness here, and just so I could get it straight in my own mind, it says being released from the requirement to pay for something. So, you know, I was thinking about the parable of the two servants that Jesus talked about. You know, one owed a lot of money to the king, and the other one owed a small amount of money to the first person. And but when this man went to the king and said, "I can't pay this money. There's no way." The king forgave him the debt. It was gone. It was erased. It was as if it had never happened. Now the king had to pay for that loss. He had to pay for that loss. But the man that owed the money, he was forgiven of that. That was not supposed to be an issue with him anymore. Of course, we know the rest of the story, how that he went out and demanded some small sum from a friend of his. And but being forgiven is being released from the requirement to pay a debt. And forgiving others is releasing them from a requirement to pay for what they did. Because usually it's not money. It's usually forgiveness involves the actions of other people that harm us. And so we are releasing them from a requirement to pay for that evil action or bad thing that they did to us by forgiving them. There's also a mention there in the dictionary about not feeling anger or resentment anymore. And I think that's also part of forgiving. First, I'd like to look at God's forgiveness to us. And I'd like to turn to Colossians chapter 1 and just read a couple verses there. Colossians 1 and starting at verse 9. Paul is talking, is introducing his letter to the Colossians, and then he gets into a little more detail here and about their relationship with the Lord, and he's thanking the Lord for what he knows about them and for what he's heard about them. He says, starting in verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the sons of light, of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know, the forgiveness here he mentions in verse 14 is kind of the hinge on what all this other stuff, you know, all the relationship that they can have with Christ, with God, and the giving of thanks kind of hinges on the fact that they were forgiven, that they have redemption through his blood. You know, forgiveness is an amazing thing. It changes our whole outlook. It changes where we're going, what we're doing. It changes us from being lost and miserable and doomed to being delivered and living in light and on a path of joy that leads to heaven. That's what forgiveness does for us. It changes our whole outlook on life and where we're headed if we accept the forgiveness of the Lord in our lives. God is the creator of forgiveness. He's a God of forgiveness. Way back in the Old Testament, here's a verse that you've probably heard many times. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." You know, God's intention from the very beginning was forgiveness for his people. He made a way that they could be forgiven. And of course, in the Old Testament, sacrifices were required. But now today, through the blood of Jesus, we no longer have to make those sacrifices. Jesus made that sacrifice once for all, and now we can have forgiveness of our sins because of what he did on the cross. And I think it's important to remember that there would be no forgiveness anywhere if it wasn't for God. If God hadn't showed the way initially to forgiveness, there would be no forgiveness in this world. And you would have to go through life with all the things that you've ever done, reminded of them constantly, being guilty of them, and when somebody did something to you, the concept of forgiveness would not be in there. You would hold grudges all the time. People would hold grudges against you. But it's only through what Jesus did and what God has done for us that we can really know what forgiveness is. And it's only through God that we can have true forgiveness. And our only hope really is there as well. You know, the little story about when the friends of this man was sick with palsy, they let him down through the roof, and so Jesus could heal him. He couldn't come to Jesus because there was no way for him to get through the crowd. He was so sick, he was on his bed. And Jesus healed that man. He said, "Your sins are forgiven you." And you know, the Pharisees, they were thinking things in their heart, and Jesus knew what they were thinking. And he said to the Pharisees, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? But whether it is easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'?" And eventually the man got up, he walked away. But do you suppose what was the most important thing to that man? Was it that he was healed from his sickness, or was it that he was forgiven of his sins? I think Jesus saw right to the heart of that person, as he sees to the heart of each one of us, and he knows that of all the things that we need in this world, forgiveness of our sins is the most important. We want to be well. We want to be healthy, and we want to be provided for, and all these other things. But desperately, in our deepest heart, what we really need is to be forgiven of our sins. And Jesus saw that in that man, and that's the thing that he looked at first. And I guess I was blessed with that thought, because I know that Jesus looks at me and he sees exactly what I need in my heart, and he knows that that's what I need too. So there's no way to be made alive without the forgiveness of Christ, and we can see that we are really hopeless without that forgiveness in our lives. And if we could realize that completely, if you and I could completely see how much the forgiveness that we have cost, we would be more thankful, and we would probably be more willing to extend that forgiveness to people around us. At least I think I would be, if I could really see and understand what it cost, my forgiveness cost, the forgiveness of my sins. Okay, just a few words on how do we gain forgiveness. And it's very simple. You know, 1 John 1, verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You know, it's a very simple verse, but just a few thoughts on this verse. The sin we have must be confessed and acknowledged. We can't hide it, and we can't shift the blame for it to somebody else. We can't make excuses for our sin. We have to admit it. We want forgiveness. We need to acknowledge and take ownership of our actions. You know, there's something about owning up to your own mistakes that makes you more willing to do something about them in the future. You know, if you can blame it on somebody else, then there's no reason for you to change your actions. If it was somebody else's fault, you can keep on doing what you're doing. But if you realize that your sin was your mistake and that you're to blame, then you're willing and able to leave those sins and not do them. So we should acknowledge our wrongdoing and ask forgiveness for it specifically. You know, say what sin it was that we committed and ask the Lord to forgive us. Not just sin in general. There is that, maybe that time when you could ask the Lord to forgive you for the sins that you commit that you don't realize or you haven't acknowledged because you have forgotten them or something. But most of the time we need to acknowledge exactly what our sin was and name it specifically, whether it was anger or whatever it might have been. Name that sin and ask the Lord to forgive you for it. Another thing, number three, accept that we are forgiven and move on from there. You know, this may be sometimes a difficult one, depending on your outlook on life. It can be difficult to accept the forgiveness of the Lord and move on. Sometimes we want to live in blame. We want to live in regret for the sin that we've committed. And I know there's a time to mourn for sins that we have committed. But once we've confessed them and they're forgiven, we need to accept that. And we need to acknowledge, yes, God has forgiven my sin. It is gone. And not live in regret. We want to gain victory over future sin. We need to accept the forgiveness that God has given us today and move on to victory. Paul talked about, you know, forgetting the things that were behind him. And we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school. Paul might have had some things in his past, I can imagine, that would have haunted him about what he did to other people. And, you know, he could have let that bother him to the point where he would have been unable to move forward with his life and become the minister that he was, the preacher and teacher that he was, writer. But Paul talked about forgetting the things that were behind and moving forward to what was ahead. So we don't want to live in the past of our sins that are forgiven. And I'd like to read Psalm 103. This psalm really encouraged me as I was thinking about this whole idea of forgetting our sins and leaving the sin of the past in the past when they're forgiven. Psalm 103, 1 to 14. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heaven is, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removeth our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." You know, this psalm really reminds me, even though we think of David writing the psalm in the Old Testament era, it really reminds us how wonderfully merciful God is to us and how he forgives our sins. And, you know, the other day I was trying to explain to somebody how that if you travel north far enough, you eventually start going south. And it's kind of a hard concept to grasp. But then when you think about the east from the west, as it mentions here, and no matter how far you travel east, you'll never end up at the west. And no matter how far you travel west, you'll never end up in the east. It's like two opposing forces that never meet. And I'm just blessed to think that God has removed our transgressions from us to that extent, to where they are gone. When we have asked forgiveness, those things are gone, and we don't have to remind ourselves of them again. The devil may try to remind you of them, but remind yourself that when they are forgiven, God has forgiven you completely, and you're free from that. Okay, I'd like to change subject just a little bit and move to our forgiveness between people, extending forgiveness to your brother or to somebody in your life. You know, I don't think we can understand this, as I mentioned before. We can't understand forgiveness completely if we don't have the forgiveness of God in our hearts. And that's why I started with God to us forgiveness, because I don't think we can truly forgive other people the way we should and completely if we haven't experienced the forgiveness of God in our heart and received that forgiveness. So a couple thoughts on forgiving other people. I would say make it a habit to forgive others quickly, before you're even asked, before you had a chance to build up some level of resentment. Make a decision to forgive that person. It's much too dangerous to live with resentment in your life. And, of course, remember the parable of the servant who owed his master that I mentioned before. And it's plain that the Lord treats us with the type of forgiveness we extend to others is the type of forgiveness that the Lord extends to us. And that's a scary thought, that if we're unforgiving to other people, that's the kind of treatment the Lord will give to us. But unforgiveness is a huge open door to the devil in your life to take hold of your life and to make you stagnant in your Christian life and to cloud your judgment about things that you make decisions about every day. The sooner you forgive the person, the sooner you're free to move on and to grow in your life. You know, there are times when there are people that are never going to ask you for forgiveness. They don't intend to. They don't want to. They're happy that they hurt you in some way. And that can be a really difficult time to extend forgiveness because you're not going to get anything. Even if you tell them you forgive them, they're not going to care. It's not going to mean anything to them. And those are difficult, really difficult situations. I remember, Darlene told me this story about some children in Romania at an orphanage there. I think there was four children, and they ended up in an orphanage run by some Mennonite people there. But these children watched their father kill their mother, and I don't know what it was like, but it must have been a horrible thing. They ended up in an orphanage, these four children, raised by Christian people and taught the Bible, and they were instructed in God's word. But there came a time when they would say the Lord's Prayer, and the Lord's Prayer says, you know, forgive us our debtors, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And when it came to this part of the Lord's Prayer, this one child just couldn't say it. She just broke down in tears. It was impossible for her to say it at that point. But eventually she came to the point where she could say the words and actually mean them. And that's how it may be for us sometimes. We have to give it some time. We have to struggle through that. Sometimes we have to look at the past and realize that we have not forgiven somebody. And when those things come to your mind, make a decision to forgive. And like I said, it may be a process, but make a decision to forgive when those things are presented to your mind again. If you have not forgiven those things, sometimes we fool ourselves into thinking that, yeah, I've forgiven that person, but as time goes on, our attitudes reveal that it isn't the case. The Bible says that bitterness becomes a root that is really hard, and it defiles many people. And unforgiveness leads to resentment, and eventually resentment leads to bitterness, and it's very difficult to overcome at that point. So maybe a couple thoughts on how you know you've truly forgiven someone. And just a couple questions to ask yourself. Do you hold resentment? Is this hurt that somebody did to you, is it constantly in your mind? Are you compelled to tell people about it all the time? You know, I know sometimes we have to share those things with other people, but sometimes when we are always having to tell people what somebody did to us, that may be a sign that we haven't really forgiven someone. What's your relationship like with that person now? You know, in the church, our object is to restore a relationship, you know, to where we have a good relationship with that person. Now, there may be cases where, like I said, people don't want your forgiveness. They don't care. So your relationship will never be normal or optimal with that person. But what kind of a heart do you have for that person? Can you pray for them truly from your heart? Can you pray for them for the good of that person? Can you pray for their well-being? And another thing you can do is ask somebody else their opinion. Sometimes other people are better at seeing our unforgiving attitude than what we will admit to ourselves. 10 years ago this month, there was a shooting in Pennsylvania that I'm sure all of you remember. A man shot and went into a school with a bunch of Amish children and shot, I don't even remember the number, but he killed about five of them. And it was a very traumatic thing. And, of course, a lot of news organizations were there and they were talking about it and trying to figure out motives and all this thing. But one thing that came out of that was an amazing decision by those people to forgive the person who had killed their family members. And, you know, I don't think it was a thing. They said, okay, we've forgiven him, and the next day everything was fine, and it was... No, they had to fight this out. They had to have some time, and it was work. It was prayer. And it's normal for it to take time. But it's amazing what a witness to the world those kind of actions are. When we're willing to forgive our enemy and our friend, the world notices those things. Okay, speaking of asking somebody for their forgiveness, just a few thoughts on that. Again, be thorough and honest about what you did that was wrong. But don't say, if I hurt you or if I did something wrong. Be straight up about what you did and admit it wholeheartedly. Just say it. I did this and specifically, and I am sorry. And accept the outcome. As I mentioned before, sometimes, you know, we don't have to worry about this when we ask the Lord to forgive us. But sometimes when we're dealing with people, they may refuse to accept our forgiveness or forgive us. They may not want to. We may have to live with the fact that they're not going to say, I forgive you. They're going to hold a grudge against us. So sometimes we have to accept that things aren't going to end up like we hoped they would. I'd like to talk about just quickly two specific areas of our lives that I think we really need to practice forgiveness in. And the first one is in your family. You know, I think too often our family kind of gets the short end of the stick when it comes to courtesy and those kind of things. They're our family, and we kind of maybe don't treat them as well as we ought to sometimes. Practice forgiveness in your family. It will go a long ways toward making your relationships closer. And, you know, we think we can get away with less kind and less thoughtful attitudes, but those things really do make a difference in your family. Make it a practice to forgive regularly. If you want a strong, close relationship with your spouse, be ready to extend forgiveness and be quick to ask forgiveness as well. If you want your children to grow up respecting you and not resenting you and your teaching, be quick to ask forgiveness where you have made a mistake and you've done something that wasn't quite right. And be quick to also extend forgiveness where some of your children ask for it. Another area I think that we really need practical forgiveness is in the church. And, you know, so many times issues are resolved simply and beautifully by just a simple act of forgiveness. And it may be totally, you may do it without any notice at all. Nobody may know that you had to forgive someone. You don't need to shouted out. But those little things can make a big difference. And there's, and on the flip side, there's so many church issues that have blown out of proportion and become huge issues simply because one or more people were unwilling to forgive someone else for something that they did or said. So if you hear something nasty about you, somebody said, you have a choice. You can store up that offense and keep score, or you can deal with it and forgive that person and just move on. And so choosing to silently forgive is a huge thing, and I think it is these little choices that we make every day in church that is the difference between having a loving church and a church that is on the rocks. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, there's a huge challenge for us today to be kind and tenderhearted and forgiving one another. As we think about what Jesus has done for us, we should extend that forgiveness. Peter, you know, he asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother who sins against me? And he thought, well, 7 times, it sounds like a lot. But Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. In other words, don't keep count of how many times you've forgiven your brother. Just keep doing it. Don't think that you're necessarily superior because you're forgiving your brother so many times, because there's probably many people that have had to forgive you as well, and maybe you didn't even realize it sometimes. Here's a little, in closing, I'll read this little verse, or it's actually a song, and I'm just going to read a couple verses of it here. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. It was my sin that left him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. You know, as we think about forgiveness, we have to acknowledge that we all need it. And as we think about what Jesus has done for us in forgiving us, let's be forgiving of others as well. That's all I have. I'll leave it open for a testimony if you have one this morning.